It's Tuesday, January 15th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, glad to be back in the saddle here in Honolulu. We got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, how are you doing? Welcome to the show. Wow, it's been a while. It feels like it's been forever that we have had a real audio podcast to put together for you. Was last week an amazing week or what? I hope you are all following the coverage that we did at the Consumer Electronics Show. And I know not all of you are into video, but wow, we covered a lot of ground. And believe me, it's only the tip of the iceberg. You have no idea what I have still in a hard drive to process. I think I'm looking at the stack here, and let me actually lift the stack up. I have a stack of business cards that is, well, if I put it between my thumb and my forefinger, it's about 3 inches, and I have them organized by day and event, and there's a tight rubber band around it, and I actually got them in a safe place where my little four-year-old can't get a hold of them. I've got to get them scanned and processed. I'm going to do that tomorrow night, but wow, what a show. It really, really was, and a lot of things happened between when I get ready to leave for the show and the show and after. And let's talk a little bit about that. Of course, all of you got the announcement that Geek News Central was picked a top 10 podcast by podcast.com. And of course, we're very appreciative of that award. And of course, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, we want to make sure that you stay subscribed and you get signed up for our newsletter so that you can get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. You'll find that in the third column of the website. Now, if you've been here since that announcement and you've been kind of wondering what's going on with the show, yeah, it's been kind of a video production here for the last week. Anna McCaskey and I were out at the Consumer Electronics Show covering just a wide plethora of events and quite literally not getting any sleep. I think he and I totalized our number of hours. He got less than I did because he was doing his regular show as well. And I think I know on Monday night I got 4 hours. Tuesday night I got 3 hours. Wednesday night maybe 4 hours. And then the final night maybe 4. So 4, 8, 12, about 15 hours. And then that's not even including the stuff we had going on starting Saturday and Sunday evening. But I did get to sleep in Saturday morning a little bit. So I guess that doesn't count, but oh, man. By the time I got ready to come back to Hawaii, I was just a bumbling idiot. I really was. And then I had some stuff come up that I'll talk about here in the show that really, you know, when you're tired, you just don't need to deal with things. But I'll kind of talk about that here in a little while. But I hope you all enjoyed the coverage, and we're going to have a lot more for you. Got a lot of stuff, looked at a lot of gear, a lot of requests that you've asked for. We have taped. Just have not had the time to put it together. I promised the kids when I got back that Saturday we would go to the beach, and then Sunday we went to a puppet show that was actually was being done by John Chambers over at 1 Minute Tip at 1MinuteTip.com. He was out here. He's a professional puppeteer, I guess that's the best word for it, and he did a show for over at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. In their Kennedy Theater was Peter and the Wolf. So the kids enjoyed that. So it basically was a kid weekend. I really did because I had spent so much time prior to going out to Vegas getting ready for it. And, you know, I worked through the holidays and everything, not just on that, but some other stuff. So I owed them really big time dad payback time. So that's what happened this weekend. But I do want to thank Paul and David, our two guys behind the scenes that were working with us on doing a video. And that some of that production. Paul was sick like the first 2.5 days. He got some bad food right off the bat Saturday. So he was down Sunday and Monday and really didn't get back into the swing of things until Tuesday. But big thanks to the folks at Bloghouse for the big fat bandwidth pipe. It really made things different. We shut that room down 3 nights in a row. We didn't shut it down on the last night just because we had to get out of there. We were hammered tired. And then we did get to, I think we ate, we got to eat breakfast every day, but we only had 2 dinners and then kind of grazing food the rest of the time. You know how you go to events and you walk, and you know, we had all this camera gear and stuff, and we really couldn't sit down and eat. So it would be like you'd grab a plate of like noodles or something, and it just, I'm paying for it now. I really am. But, wow, what else is going on here? Well, I had a little bit of a stressor on, I guess Thursday, there was this post by this guy that's in an advertising deal with us at Raw Voice. And he's basically bashing us. I mean, he was coming off the top rope saying, oh, they didn't pay us very much, didn't pay us what we deserved. And I'm like, what in the heck is this guy talking about? I went and did a quick review of his stats. And, you know, it wasn't as pretty of a conversation back and forth as it should have been. But it went all the way until some back channel email tonight. I'm back and forth. I'm like, listen, here's the screenshots of your stuff. I just don't see, you know, any more numbers. You know, I don't see any more numbers after this date. We had done the billing and everything, but I hadn't processed the actual individual shows. How I work that is we get the data in, and I can run a query and get the actual download numbers for all the shows that were in the buy. I do a quick check with this reporting document that they each send in and kind of match up the stuff and exclude shows that didn't have the ads in. And I'm able to come up with my total download numbers to report to the vendor. Well, you know, that's done. And I send that out. And then when I know we're getting close to the billing, then I start processing it. So tonight I basically told the guys, I haven't even, you know, processed your October numbers. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to figure what's going on. And he's upset, you know, really upset at me. And I'm kind of irritated too as well. And because I'm thinking, you know, I'm work hard at this space to make sure everyone is treated equally, everyone gets a fair shake, everyone makes the money that they're supposed to make. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. I'm giving this guy what he deserves. And so I send this email off with these screenshots, and Angelo sends me an instant message back and said, I'm sending you an email. You're not going to believe it. So I get this email from Angelo, and Angelo's been following, and I've been asking Angelo, fine, what's going on? Is this guy's, you know, what's going on with the stats? Can you look at his raw logs? And basically, I didn't think he was running the redirect, so I was asking him for more information from his vendor. I said, give me screenshots from them, and then, you know, I'll work something out. We'll figure it out. Well, turns out how our stats system works, and we just found, I'm not kidding you, I found this out 30 minutes ago. How our stats system works is that if you look at my download, it goes, it says media.blueberry.com/geeknewscentral/ then the URL to the actual media. Well, this show was using, and I'm just used the word as an example, media.blueberry.com/ the name of the show, /, and then the URL. So that's what I was assuming he was doing. Because the show is listed on 2 different sites, it's listed on Tech Podcast on and Blueberry, what had happened was, unknowns to me, that he had changed the keyword that he was using. So this really throws things for a loop, because when you use a keyword, you change keywords, it then resorts to using the keyword in the list, because it's not allowed to have the same name twice. So I'm looking at one set of data. The guy that's complaining is looking at another. He's legitimately right in the data he's looking at. I'm legitimately right in the data that I'm looking at, but we're both not on the same page. So I'm sure tomorrow morning he's going to get the email. He's going, oh my God. You know what? And I'm sure that's what's going to happen. So a mistake on our part, mistake on his part. We'll get him a new checkout with additional, because he's owed more money. He was right. But the simple fact is I'm looking at one set of data. He's looking at another. So I told Angel, we got to fix this. This can never happen again. need some sort of a notification system when a person changes the keyword so that we can track it or whatever. But I just like, you know, all this frustration. And the guy's legitimately angry, and I'm legitimately angry too for saying we're doing what we're supposed to do. I did everything I can, and you know what, I can't, you know, squeeze blood out of a turnip. And you know, it's when you're looking at one data set, one person's looking at one, the other's looking at another, and each of us doesn't know we're looking at the wrong data set. Well, yeah, things can happen. So hopefully he'll be satisfied, and we can move forward. But golly, what a pain in the okoli. So anyway, I hope you're all doing good. Got lots of email, lots of voicemail, lots of content to go over tonight. I don't know what else to talk to you guys about, just except that CES was a great event. I hope you enjoyed the content. I really do. We're going to be looking forward to bringing you all the videos that we have recorded. And there's a lot of people, a lot of businessmen that have already been sending me emails. When are you going to have the video up? When are you going to have the video up? But we do this for a purpose. We take some time and get them processed, get the show notes together so we have a real good posting, so it can be first indexed well on Google. And also we give the, give the company the benefit of the good press. Now, we had two types of video content going on at CES. We had primary channel and back channel. The primary channel was basically our pick of the day. And that was the video that the four primary videos that we put out that had Annie and I talking about different products. Now, before Monday, I had put out four or five videos that were product interviews. And essentially what it is, it's a diminishing return. Because we start getting so much stuff so quick and so much of it, there's just no way literally to even if I stayed up 24 hours a day and still did the things on the show floor, we'd never cover it all. They're just impossible. So we end up, you know, we always get ahead the first couple of days. We're like, yeah, we're caught up. We're doing good. And then Monday hits and it's just like, oh, we get crushed. We really did. Not only that, we went to Showstoppers, we went to Digital Experience, great shows, great events. I'm really happy that we went. But this back channel video, Andy was running, and sometimes I was kind of get irritated with Andy. I'm like, Andy, come on, you know, that's enough, let's move on. But he was running the back channel. It was basically on I went out and picked one up myself. They're called a Flip Video, and they're a little camera, about $140. And they record for an hour. The video quality is not super great, neither is the audio, but they are a great little camera. And my kids have been running around here using them. I'm not worried about them dropping it or breaking. It's pretty durable. But we were running that video as kind of like what it's like to be at CES. And we have gotten more feedback on those videos so far than even just like the primary video. So if you want to check out all the content, and there is a bunch of it. Now, what we're going to be doing on the back channel stuff is Andy has went through and time hacked, marked everything. And I'm going to go through and professionally edit the actual back channel videos and cut them up into smaller pieces because some of them are an hour. That's more than you probably want to sit and watch, but we're going to find the best. And we're going to cut that up. And I have actually got the blooper reel in work as well, too. So we're going to be doing the outtake or blooper reel. And I should hopefully have that up in the next couple of days. But I'm going to be repurposing all this back channel stuff into better tidbits that you can use. But you can find all this stuff right now, all of the content that's up to this point, over at techpodcast.blip.tv. I'll have a link to it in the show notes tonight. Definitely check them out, the videos you like, embed them in your website. So tell people about them. We definitely appreciate all the support. I know many of you carried the videos on your websites. I appreciate it. JP, I know you're one that carried the videos and made links to the websites and all the tech podcasters as well. It was definitely really, really appreciated. And we've got essentially promo videos for them we're going to be playing as well. So lots of stuff going on. Plus, we're going to do a roundtable this Saturday. I haven't even told Andy about this yet. So definitely we're going to be doing a roundtable this Saturday to talk about CES in more detail. I hope you'll join us. We'll be covering a lot of the stuff that you have not heard yet or seen and some cool products. We'll be talking with people that were out at Macworld as well. So it should be a great event. But all of that would not have been possible without our sponsors. We do want to thank our sponsors out there. So if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, enter the code TODD when you check out to save an additional 10% on your order. You can use Geek5 to save 15% on your order of $20 or more. Use the code CENTRAL when you check out to save $10 off your order of $50 or more. So again, Todd, Geek5, Central, ComSale, Aloha, Geek. Those are all great codes that you can use. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor. Of course, our upcoming roundtable is sponsored by GoToMeeting. And these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must for today's business. With GoToMeeting.com, it's just like you're all in the same room. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. And by the way, I did go see the folks at GoDaddy at CES. I went and saw my GoDaddy girl. My good friend Chris, she was there, so I talked to her for a little bit and had her on camera, so you'll get to see her in a later video. But, wow, what have we got going? I got a lot of stuff. I really, really do. And let me go ahead and make sure that I've got all of the show notes and stuff loaded here for tonight, and the show comments, all that's loaded. So let me go ahead and load up FeedDemon. A lot of news on FeedDemon here in a little bit, but we'll talk about FeedDemon as we get into the show a little further. You know, when I was at CES, one thing I kept seeing was solar panels. A lot of companies were displaying solar panels there, so I was trying to get a feel for what it would cost to essentially put solar on my house. And figuring out, Hawaii, I'm paying 22 cents a kilowatt hour. I got my first electricity bill was $320. So you guys figure that out, how much I use for kilowatt hours. And I think this office here is burning up a little bit more juice than what I thought it was. But so, I'm thinking, okay, I'm doing a figure in my head, $300 a month times, 12 months, that's $3,600 a year. And then you divide that into, roughly $20,000 to do solar on a home. I'm thinking, oh, is it worth it? Is it worth it to put it in? And I don't really think it is at this point. It's not affordable. And we were talking with different folks on the, different amounts of, cost per kilowatt and so forth. But gosh, it would be nice to be able to do it if it was more affordable and the payback wasn't so long. Especially considering I may not stay in this house for, more than 3 or 4 years. It just doesn't make any sense. But the, of course, famous last words, I'll probably be here for 20. But over on Inhabit at Inhabit.com, there is a picture of it, what's called the Solar Ark. It's the world's most stunning solar building, and it was built by Sanyo. Sanyo has built an ark for the solar century. It's an impressive 630-kilowatt solar collecting building that boasts over 5,000 solar panels and kicks off over 500,000 kWh of energy per year. That's just amazing. And so anyway, check this out. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful building. Hey, Sanyo, just send me like 4 panels, okay? All I need is 4 or 5 panels for the house. I'll buy the batteries. Oh, have any of you went solar? Have any of you put one in? What's your cost been? I'd love to hear from someone that's actually done their home. I'm really considering it, but the cost, ooh, just crazy. Now, if you are a car lover, don't you even think about taking a picture of you and your car and distributing it in some sort of a, club fundraiser magazine or anything like that, because Ford will have nothing to do with allowing you to do that. They will smack you down. They're saying that Ford has basically smacked a club down. It's the folks at the BMC. It's called the Black Mustang Club. It's an automotive And it's basically an automotive forum. They wanted to put together a calendar featuring members' cars and print it through Cafe Press. Photos were submitted, the layout was set, and then Cafe Press notified the site admin that pictures of Ford cars cannot be printed. Not just Ford logos, not just Mustang logos, the car as a whole is a Ford trademark and its image cannot reproduce without permission. Is that just, you know, you have a car, you stand in front of your car, they take a picture of you and your car, and nope, you can't have that printed because it your car's trademark. Boy, did Ford get it wrong? Don't they understand Ford enthusiast means they will talk about Fords? And what happens when they talk about Fords, especially they talk about Mustangs, it sells more cars? Are they insane? What are these companies thinking about today? Especially if it's going to be done by a club, you know it's not going to be some car that's going to look bad. I mean, these cars are going to shine. They're going to be clean. It's going to be pride and joy. Jeez. It's just, where's it going to end, folks? Really? Well, Macworld's going on this week, and I'm sure the Mac fans of the show are really excited to see what's going on. And of course, the big leak, according right now, is a ultra portable. They're saying that's what's going to be announced tomorrow. Today is an ultra portable, and all kinds of details are coming out. And some people are saying, "Nah, impossible. That's not it. The specs won't match." But I think we'll see tomorrow whether or not ones are going to be announced. Now, I think the closest thing to being very close is probably over on blogwire.com in their gadget lab. They've got a pretty convincing picture here, and I don't know where they got this, but we'll see if they've actually done photoshopping on this picture or not. So we'll know what Steve Jobs says tomorrow. Now, the next thing up, I know a lot of you use Google Maps. And there's a new feature now. Google Maps is now enhanced with the Weather Channel data. So you can actually bring up temperatures and you can bring up forecast within the map itself when you build it. So pretty cool. And you can do regionalized stuff as well. So if you're going to be traveling, you know, in state, it may give you a good idea how the weather conditions are going to be for, you know, a short period during your driving time along your route. So check this new feature out over at Google Maps. More stuff on basically what's going on with the new Mac announcements. I just leave that some links up in the show notes tonight. Let you guys devour on those. I'm sure by the time many of you are listening to the show, probably the announcements will be out. But we'll keep an eye out and see what they announce tomorrow. Okay, the RIAA. I don't even want to go into this article. All I'm going to do is I'm going to link to it. It's just an amazing rhetoric coming out of the mouths of people at the RIAA. It's just more the same, and boy, they just endearing themselves to people all over the world. It just never stops. It really, really doesn't. So I have this linked up. This is over on CNET, and if you're interested, go ahead and check it out. Link will be up in the show notes via the newsletter, of course, on the website as well. And remember, if you come to geeknewscentral.com, and you're looking for the show notes, you'll definitely want to click on the podcast link because that's where the full-blown show notes are not. We don't carry the full-blown show notes on the front of the website. You'll find the full-blown link or the link to the full show notes on the main page, but you'll definitely want to go over to the podcast page and check it out. All right, the next thing on the list here tonight is from Download Squad. Netflix subscribers get to watch as many online videos as they want. So what they've done here is Netflix has lifted its monthly time limits for online video viewing. So this is cool. So now if you are paying for the $18 per month plan, you are essentially going to be able to watch as much as you want. And this is good news here. But subscribers at the lowest level pay the $4.99 per month to rent up to 2 DVDs. We'll get to only watch a few hours of video. But everyone else is going to get access to all 6,000 movies and TV shows currently available. That reminds me, I did I paid for a video on my Vudu box with under the explicit idea that I was going to see if I was going to be able to get that off my Vudu box. And at this point, what goes on a Vudu box stays on a Vudu box. So what it was that we wanted to watch one of the shows that were on the system. And I couldn't rent it. I had to buy it. Well, they gave me some credits, so I bought it, and now it's in my inventory, but that's the only thing I'm seeing so far on the Vudu box is there's a lot of videos that I want to rent that are forcing me to buy, and I go looking for them on the regular pay-per-view, and so far, they're not on there either, so I don't know if it's because they've been released in DVD, but they're not ready for a pay-per-view yet, or if they're on the, you know, ready to be rented on Vudu. But I'm seeing a lot of that, and it is kind of frustrating to see these, you know, these movies you want to watch that you've skipped and haven't went to the movie theater. And I guess what it has caused me to do, in all honesty, is buy a DVD, essentially a digital copy of a movie where I never thought I would have before. And I don't know if I was running on my credits, whether or not I would have done it. It was a movie we wanted to see pretty bad, so I may have. So I hate to say it, but I think the Vudu box may have its place from time to time in buying essentially full-featured films and having it available. I do still not like the idea of being locked into a walled garden, not being able to take that data and take it to my computer. You know, I paid for it now, so let me burn the DVD or let me be able to play it on my computer whenever I want to. That, I think, is the hurdle we need to get over. Of course, DRM. It's going to be a while before that happens. Okay, over on Engadget, and by the way, Gizmodo right now is on my ban list for cover. You know, basically going to their website and finding any coverage. These knuckleheads, I don't know if you heard about this or not, and these guys are an absolute bunch of jokers. They had a big crew at CES, okay? They were prancing around and acting like they were big shots. They had press badges instead of blogger badges. And every place they were going to, they were like, you know, they were dressed, how should I say it, rogue, which is, you know, that's their choice. But what they did is they went into the Motorola booth during a presentation they had and had one of these remote control devices that shut off all the screens. And they started their presentation and they shut off every TV screen in the Motorola booth. Now, not only did they do that, but they filmed themselves doing it and then put that video up online. And I tell you what, it makes me beyond angry because, you know, here I am. The folks at Gizmodo, I'm sure that their airfare was paid for. I'm sure their hotel was paid for. I'm sure they got into all the big press events. They were treated, you know, essentially like a royalty. They were probably got into all the highfalutin press rooms, you know, and basically were, you know, treated like rock stars. And then these guys go and do this stunt. Now, okay, ha-ha. But guess what? It's like a 16-year-old in a candy store. I don't understand their mentality. Here I am, Annie and I, we paid for our own way. We paid for our hotel rooms. We paid for our own food. I think I'm down about $4,000 for the trip. That's about what it cost. It was $2,800 before I even left the house. By the time I figured in shipping to FedEx, I figure food in, you know, in the hotel room when we don't have time to go out to eat. I'm figuring taxi cabs, probably close to $4,000. Okay? So, you know, a little hunk of change. But I'm happy to do that. And Andy and I, we're happy to go out and do coverage of the show. Okay? No complaints there. We're happy to spend the money to do that. But when these jokers go out and pull the stunt that they did, you know, 3 years ago, Annie and I could not walk up to a booth and say we'd like to speak to someone and we would get ignored. It was almost near impossible to get an interview. We could not get press credentials the first year. We came as industry analysts the first year. The second year we had true full-blown press credentials. And even then, last year, we were not treated, and I'm going to say treated, we were not welcomed as well. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. This year at CES, every booth that we went to and said, hey, we're here. We, you know, this is what we do. We'd like to talk to somebody about this specific product. Bam, that quick. The press people and the handlers, they got us to program managers. They got us to lead people in the companies. We got to talk to CEOs. I mean, I could not have asked. I mean, I did not even have to really work. And we were in some big booths. And usually in big booths, we don't get, you know, usually you get shuffled away. And we weren't. So treated completely different this year. Now, the CEA set up two blog rooms. One was at the Sands, great location, great place to go, hang out, kick back, get some lunch. The other one was at really the South Hall at the far end, kind of a bad location. But I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. They had it set up, had good bandwidth there. I'm sure another year it will be closer to a more central location. So not going to complain. There was a stark difference, but, you know, I'm going to give them credit that they did this. So here CEA, which is the organization that puts on CES, has given us a credential to says bloggers, okay? Let us come into all the major events. Let us probably grease the skids with all the vendors to say, hey, these guys are going to be here this year. They're the same class as press. You know, you want to talk to these guys. And then for these idiots over at Gizmodo, these absolute flaming idiots over at Gizmodo to do this, I blogged it. You saw it. I think the whole entire Gizmodo and that whole entire organization needs to be banned from all press events for a whole year. Now you think, you know, I'm people say I'm a little over the top here, but guess what? We had worked so hard to at least be treated in a way that gives us access to the people that we want to talk to, and not always just getting the press talk. We're trying to, when we went to the HP booth, we got the program manager at HP for the product we wanted to talk about. Well, he's the guy that's in the trenches at HP dealing with the programs, you know, dealing with this product. He's not a press guy. 3 years ago, I would have never, ever, ever been able to talk to him. Impossible. So, yes, I'm passionate about speaking about this. Some people will think I'm wrong. Some people think it's funny what they did. They're sticking it to the man. But you know what? You know, leave that for some teenager to do that. Really, it's just uncalled for. I hope they're just blacklisted. I hope they are. I really am. Maybe it's the wrong approach to take, but that's the way I feel about it. Love to hear your comments. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Hey, I did get an update from the OLPC folks. The two laptops are being replaced, so we're just in the queue again. So there are five coming. There are five OLPC laptops still coming. So a knock on wood here that we'll get them relatively soon. So it is good news on that. Thanks everybody for being patient, and I'm glad the OLPC folks got it figured out. But if you want to see an OLPC dissected, there's a link over on Engadget for it. I'll have it up in the show notes. Also, you know, for years I've had multitudes of drives here. I've had SATA, I've had eSATA, I've had USB drives, you name it, I've got it. Well, how many of you have got all sorts of drives and, you know, an interface for each one of them? Well, there's a new product out by NewerTech that will handle IDE, ATA, SATA, among other types of drives as well. 2.5, 3.5, 5.25, optical drives to a computer via USB. Very cool device. It's $29.95. Great price. Can't beat it. Check it out. It's available online. I have a link up to it in the show notes. Those of you that are running Windows Vista, Service Pack 1 Release Candidate Refresh is now available to the public. So if you want to get the Vista SP1 Release Candidate, you definitely want to head over to the Microsoft website and get that if you feel like you want to early adopt for Microsoft on this or early test. Those of you that are Drobo users, and I have absolutely fell in love with my Drobo. We talked to the Drobo folks at the Showstoppers, and they were very kind to give us a great interview. That will be up in when we get that processed. But here's what we're going to be doing. Drobo may actually be working with us to bring some special pricing to you. So just hold your horses a little bit on buying one of these, because we might be able to cut you a good deal. Now, here's one product that I think every Drobo users are going to want to use to their add to their system. It's called Drobo Share. It makes your Drobo a network-attached storage device. Now, it's a little expensive, but here's the thing that's cool. Normally, the Drobo hooks directly to your computer. Well, with this Drobo Share, you can hook your Drobo to the internet. In other words, your network at home. Awesome. And still get the support that that the Drobo offers. It has a gigabit Ethernet. It auto-mounts the shares via the Drobo dashboard. It will support dual USB 2.0 ports. It actually supports the XT3 file system as well. Very, very cool on that. So I definitely have you guys check out this new product called Drobo Share. It's made by a third party, but definitely want one, because I was thinking, man, I'd like to put that thing out in the garage with the other network attached storage devices, and so it will go. All right, FeedDemon and NetNewsWire are now free. Don't know what the decision process was there, but Nick, thank you so much for making FeedDemon free. Those of you that haven't been sitting on the bandwagon, because FeedDemon was a commercial product, and those of you that are Mac users who are waiting for NetNewsWire, go over there and get these products. They're free. And these are two of the very best RSS news aggregators, I think, are out there available today for both the Mac and the PC. Now, I had to laugh because Nick said in his blog post, hey, he said, FeedDemon 2.6 crack available. He says, amazing. I've already spotted several WordPress sites that supposedly crack that offer supposedly cracked versions of FeedDemon 2.6, despite the fact that FeedDemon is now free. So he smiles. It's kind of funny. But yes, don't go to a WordPress site. Go over to feeddemon.com and get the free download for your software, or for your computer, excuse me. Facebook buying Plaxo. That's the big rumor today. Reportedly, Facebook might be paying as much as $100 million for Plaxo. So we'll keep you advised on that. Of course, keep watching the news on the different websites as well. Over on TUAW.com, they're talking about a new application, and it's called iTransmogrify. It brings more flash content to the iPhone. So if you are looking to get some flash content to play in your iPhone, you'll definitely want to check out iTransmogrify. And I guess it's available at, well, it's not at that website. So I'll have the link up to the article, and then you can, actually not at iTransmogrify. Mogrify, I guess that's the correct way to pronounce that. I don't know. It's not available at that domain. It's actually at another domain. So I have the link up here in the show notes. Kind of a cool article report was done, a study was done, that 75% of journalists use blog for story ideas. It makes me wonder how many, you know, that means the bloggers are looking at the reporters are looking at the bloggers. Who's doing the real reporting? That's a good question. It says 70% of reporters check a blog list on a regular basis, 21% spend an hour per day reading blogs, 57% reporters read blogs at least 2 to 3 times a week. And also, journalists are increasingly active participating in the blog sphere. 28% of reporters have their own blogs, 16% have their own social networking page, and 48% said they are lurkers, reading blogs but rarely commenting. You know, on this 28% reporters have their own blog, if you're a reporter and you don't have a blog, you better get a blog. You better start right now. You better start writing one, because if you don't, when your newspaper or your magazine or whatever business you're in goes belly up because of the internet, you will still be able to survive and make a living because you will have already been blogging. All right. I want to talk a little bit about the Asus EEE PC. I played with it at the Intel booth. I was actually pretty impressed, folks. $400. The Asus EEE PC. Talk about one that's WiMAX enabled here. But running XP, pretty responsive. and good substitute for an ultra mobile PC. I was looking at those as well. And the new ultra, if you're thinking about an ultra mobile, wait. Wait for the new chipset, okay? I think 3 to 5 months, but wait. If you can wait that long, don't buy an ultra mobile PC until the new Intel, what is it called? Oh my gosh. It starts with an M. I'll have to look it up in my little note package I have, but it's an amazing chipset, low power, 40 million transistors, basically fits on a chip that goes on the tip of your finger. We got some good video of that chip as well. So, hold off on your ultra mobile PCs, but if you can't wait, this Asus Triple E PC, might be the way to go. About $400, I believe, for that device. And it can take Linux off it and put Windows XP on. Google has announced today that they are rolling out some new applications for the iPhone. So they're offering improvements to being able to get to Gmail, Reader, Calendar, Picasa. So look for those updates on the iPhone. Over on TechDirt, they've got a good one here. DMCA misuse, trying to take down a negative movie review. Yes, you've heard this correct. A filmmaker has actually submitted a DMCA takedown notice on a site that had a negative or more than one negative film reviews. Obviously, this really worked for the guy and has caused him to probably get more negative reviews of his film. But, you know, it's not surprising. People go to any lengths to remove negative type of commentary on the web. Once it's there, you got to live with it. You got to deal with it. All right, NASA has outlined Hubble repair plans. A shuttle mission scheduled to launch next year will allow the Hubble Space Telescope to remain operational for at least 5 more years. So they're saying on STS-125, currently scheduled for a launch in August, it's the 5th and final mission to the service, to service the Hubble. Now, there is some risk with this because if they get out there and there's something wrong with the shuttle, there is really no returning to the ISS. So, you know, there is some sort of, you know, there's some calculated risk with this, and they're going to have to be able to repair the shuttle if they need to. But a lot of instrument upgrades are going to be going on. And they're saying that the instrument upgrades will make the telescope 90 times as powerful as it was after the first servicing mission in 1993, which corrected the telescope's flawed optics. Well, I think anything that they did after correcting the flawed optics would make it multiple times more powerful. But good news on that. All right, February 7th, tentative date for the shuttle launch. And I think I'm actually going to be back in the United Lower 48 again around that time frame. I think I'm going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana that week. So if there's any of the Ohana that live down in that area, let's have a little get-together, have dinner one night or something. Okay, that's all I've got for regular show notes because I've got a pile. I mean, just an absolute pile of voicemail, email, you name it. I want to get through it. We'll be back kind of caught up to a normal regular show schedule on Friday, but I wanted to get caught up on all this stuff. Just lots of comments and lots of voicemails. I haven't even reviewed any of it, so we're just going to roll the dice here. But everyone, send your comments, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. If you're a new listener to the show, make sure you get subscribed to that newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. And, of course, if you're part of the Ohana, stay subscribed. Tell people about the show. We appreciate it. And thank you. Thank you for making us a top 10 podcast, according to podcast.com and their top 10 of 2007. So let's go ahead and fire off the first voicemail comment here and see what everybody has to say. So here we go.
Hey, Todd, it's Joe from Oklahoma. I just got through listening to Friday's show. And
hey, Joe.
I had a comment on the person with the HD monitor and the DRM problem. You mentioned that he should start a class action lawsuit. But his problem was with losing access to content from Amazon. Isn't that correct? So maybe they should get involved in it. Perhaps that their DRM system within Windows, because it only recognizes Netflix content, constitutes unfair competition, perhaps, maybe? I hope you're having fun at CES, and I will talk with you later.
Hey, thanks for that. And obviously, we're catching up from voicemails from nearly a week ago. So thanks for the comments on that. Do appreciate it. Let's go ahead and fire through the next one.
Hey, Todd, this is Mike Wills from Mike's Hot Dish here.
Hey, Mike.
And you were asking about compact fluorescent light bulbs. Well, I just replaced my first one. And I would have to say it's roughly 2 to 3 years old, maybe. And that it's like one of the first ones that I replaced. And I have no idea what kind of brand it was or anything like that. But it is a light that we tend to keep on quite a bit. So it probably was about due to expire. Maybe, you know, it's hard to tell based on the hours, especially we don't remember when you replaced it. But the only thing I don't really like about them is that initially you turn them on, they're kind of dim. And we put some in our new bathroom that we just recently remodeled. And I'm just about ready to take things out because they just don't, they're just not as nice in that kind of environment. So I just thought I'd let you know on the replacement that they don't last 10 years like some people have said before.
Yep.
Or I thought I've heard some people say that before. But anyway, keep up a great show, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Hey, thanks. And I know it's, you know, it all depends on each individual. And some of them, the color isn't that great. So I will keep you advised on how people do on these. Of course, there are lots of good feedback from everyone.
Hey, Todd. Mike from Newscast Live. I wanted to touch on this fluorescent bulb issue that's been going back and forth for the past couple shows. You know, the fluorescent bulbs are great, and the reason that a lot of people aren't getting the life they want out of them is because you turn them on and off. If you leave one on, I have one in my garage that stays on 24/7. It's been there for about 3 years. Works great. I have other ones that I turn on and off constantly. And if you turn them on and off, depending on how the power surges into the whatever it is, the ballast or whatever they use to get enough voltage, they do die a pretty quick death, much like regular light bulbs. You know, maybe a year, year and a half. They don't last the 5 years they claim. The real problem I have is that there are applications that they're just not good for. You know, the light is not good for people, for example, an artist or a painter, people who have to have particular lights to create heat and particular wavelengths for their animals, like the terrariums and stuff.
Yep.
It's not a perfect solution. I hate when they legislate things like this. They don't work well if it's really cold, and of course they're not going to work well if it's really hot. Are you going to put a fluorescent bulb in your oven?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Is a fluorescent bulb going to make your lava lamp work? Probably not. I know these are petty little things that I'm sure there'll be workarounds for, but it sounds like a short-sighted law, and the mercury thing doesn't bother me, but the quality of light and the fact that they cost a lot, and if you turn them on and off all the time, they don't last. Well, I love the show. I hope you have a great time out at CES. Looking forward to all the videos.
Hey, thanks, and lots more videos to come. And you know something on these bulbs? Leaving it on all the time, isn't that defeating the purpose of the energy savings? Pay my electricity bill a couple of times, and you'll turn that light off. Of course, I shouldn't complain. Many of you have high electricity bills as well. You're all, and especially those of you in the wintertime, you guys have to buy oil. I don't. So that's one consolation of living here in Hawaii. But, you know, they get us one way or the other. All right, let's moving on to the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd. Randy out here.
Hey, Randy.
Going south on 35 today. Anyway,
I'll be in that area soon.
Too, a couple episodes behind holidays and all that, and you're already over there in Nevada. But you're talking about the OLPCs and all that, and I was just wondering, has anyone been monitoring eBay to see if there's a couple of OLPCs being sold out of Hawaii?
Oh, yeah, I should go look.
That's kind of where I kind of look, too, besides that. I don't know whether you've got it handled or figured out yet. Also, talking about the TV and the Apple TV, have you looked at Myth TV or making the Myth box using the Linux stuff? I've never tried installing it. I saw some demo it, and it's pretty flashy. It's pretty neat. You might want to get a live download the ISO and boot up and try playing around with a live CD of it. Myth TV. Tell you about, but do a search. I'm sure you'll find it. So, anyway, hope you're having a good time there in Nevada. And I'll be, when I get a chance, when I'm stopped, I'll be looking at some of the back channel that you created. I enjoyed your 24-hour thing, even though I was working, and I spent about 15 minutes listening to it, and I was starting to fall asleep, so I logged off. So anyway, I'll just try playing catch-up on what you put up. So thanks a lot, man. Have a good one. And GNC, no calling.
Hey, thanks so much. You know, I have some more shows to actually put up on 24hourpodcast.com, too. Some people are saying, hey, where's my audio? And I said, oh, I didn't get them all up. So I need to get the rest of the episodes pushed this week. But thanks for your comments. And, hey, drive safe out there, okay? And look forward to your feedback on all the different videos we're going to be pushing here shortly. All right, here's the next one. Whoa.
Hey, Todd. Hey, this is Kevin from Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, I'm just commenting on your last pod show before you went to CES.
Podcast.
The whole deal about the grandparents not being able to take photographs inside the mall, I don't really have a problem with that. I work in retail, and I know we have it posted on our business that you cannot allow videotaping or photographs or anything like that. So I don't really have a problem with that. Anyways, as long as going on with your CES coverage, man, awesome coverage, man. Good job. You and Andy both. Really, really enjoy going to the website and checking out all the highlights and stuff. I'm sure you've gotten some feedback on this already, but I thought I'd just throw in my two cents. As far as Monday's Consumer Electronics Show product highlights and pick of the day, hey, great video, but there was no audio on that. So
what?
Any chance that you guys get that fixed? I'd sure like to watch that again. But anyways,
really?
Keep up the good work, and I'm looking forward to the next podcast when you get back. All right, thanks a lot.
Bye. Oh, that's no good. Was the actual interview no audio? Oh, that's not good. I'll go back and check that out. If that's the case, I'll get that fixed. And oh boy, you're the first person to say anything about that, because I checked all of them. I thought they were good. I know we had some one interview that went up that didn't have any audio, and I got that replaced first thing Saturday or Sunday morning. I think Sunday morning. So, okay, thanks for the heads up on that, and definitely we'll check it out. All right, folks, here's the last voicemail for the night.
Hey, Todd, it's John in Lakewood,
hey, John.
Colorado, and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2008.
Hey, thank you.
A couple shows back, you mentioned all the great things about 2007. Well, one great thing that you didn't mention was Geek News Central. That was a great thing for 2007.
Cool.
It was an awesome show, and really thank you for doing that. And that was in my top 10 list of 2007, Geek News Central. Anyway, wanted to talk about the Hawkeye that you talked about on the January 4th show. That's nothing new. The technology is probably new in measuring pupils electronically, but cops and paramedics, of which I was one for 15 years, and doctors, that's a common test that they do to see how impaired you are. It's called nystagmus.
Hmm.
Again, that's nystagmus, and that's what they're looking for, is when your pupils go to the edge of your peripheral vision, it bounces. Much like a ping pong ball does, it bounces
right,
when it gets there. It doesn't stay there all the way over, and that's an involuntary muscle movement. The more impaired you are, the more towards the middle of your vision that becomes. Just thought I'd let you know, it's a pretty easy thing to measure when you're pretty impaired. Okay, that's what cops are really looking for. All right, love the show, and I'm trying to catch up on all the CES videos. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks. As far as that goes, I know that the law enforcement's been using that that eyeball trick, looking at your eyeballs for a while. But this device was the first one that really kind of locked in, and I just wonder if it wasn't videotape and the eye movement as well as part of their collection process, or in order for prosecution. So it is pretty interesting. We'll see what happens with that, and if it's more widely used in the future. I know it's used quite a bit already, but they use it when they're doing their field sobriety test when they've got you standing out there. But I think this is more designed as a quick look, being able to look in the car without getting you out of the vehicle. Of course, I don't know how many police officers would do that these days. And when they want you to get out of the car and walk around back. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the show comments here. I got a pile. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through all these. Some of the stuff I think I did not get moved over. So if I miss yours, I apologize. Got an email from Frank. He says, Talk of the Nation had an interview with the reporter who broke the story about you can't copy CDs to your computers and a rep of the RIAA. It was like two people on two different planets talking. Here's the link. I have the link up to that in the show notes. I may have talked about that on the last show. If I did, I apologize. Got an email from Jarvis out of Boise, Idaho. He says, Hey, Todd, first I want to say enjoy your show. When I am catching up, I'm reading email or editing my digital photos. Keep up the awesome work. I have a CFL that has lasted for almost a full year now, but my only one, and I happen to color, which is a soft, bright glow compared to a traditional 60-watt bulb. The type of CFL I'm using is the GE Helica Helical 15-watt bulb, but I'll update you when it dies. Aloha, Jim. Jarvis. Got an email from Jack via Twitter. This is basically the about the lithium battery issue with flying. They did look at all my batteries when I flew, folks. So everything I had in my bag that I didn't ship, they had an eyeball on it. I was a little bit nervous for a little while. Okay, the next email, I had a laugh here. I got this from Ralph. He says, Well, buddy, you've outdone yourself again. At around 35 minutes into GNC 2008-0104, you said the new Dell monitor has a 2 Microsoft response time. yes, Ralph, I was supposed to say 2 milliseconds. He says, were you thinking of a millisecond, but your brain is so overtaken by the evil giant that Bill built that when you see the letters MS, it looks like Microsoft, no matter what the context. Or were you outing the Microsoft conspiracy to us to do us all in by depriving us of our content, and it only takes 2 Microsoft nanoseconds to kill off our media when you plug this thing into your Windows Vista machine? Now that I think about it, I think you're right. It does have a 2 Microsoft response time. Oh, Ralph. Hey, Ralph. He says, how is the carpal tunnel going? I hope that device I gave you at Podcast Expo is helping. Yes, Ralph, you're my hero, man. That thing's good. And I've got it sitting right here on the desk. I'm not wearing it right now. Let me look. Where have I got it stashed? I got it stashed here on the, yeah, right over here in the corner it is. So I do use that, and that's a good one. And I actually had to link up the model on that so everybody knows. I got an email from, but again, thanks for your email, Rob. Definitely appreciate it. Made my day. I got an email from Jeff. He said, Hey, Todd, love the back channel video. Nice to see all the gear set up. Have fun at CS. Look forward to the video to come. And of course, that was before the whole deal. I do want to thank Dave and Dave out of Lebanon, Indiana for kicking in to the CES fun. I do appreciate that. Much thanks. Got an email from Sam out of Albuquerque. Hey, Sam, I might be coming your way, my friend. So we'll have to hook up. Todd, just a quick note to let you know, I appreciate the back channel videos. They were good. Looking forward to your and Andy's coverage of CS and the blooper reel. Still making my way through the 24-hour podcast audio, Sam, in Albuquerque. Got an email from John. Says, knowing how you love the RIAA, read this. I'll have this link up in the show notes, folks. You guys can check it out. Got an email from Danny out of Eastbourne, UK. Says, hey, Todd, I've been away from the Christmas period and now back, and I'm catching up on my podcast. I've been going through your CS coverage, and the products that you've covered so far have been great, but you need to tell the camera guy to stop moving the camera so much. I notice he pans the camera a lot between you and the interviewee. Congratulations on your official leave of active duty, and maybe one day I'll finally be able to get you meet in Hawaii. Come on out, Danny. We'll have a few cold ones together. We don't drink pints here, but I'm sure we can scare up a couple of pint glasses and do it upright. But yeah, you know, that's what happens when we don't have professional camera people. It is what it is. And I think we got better as the week went on. We did do the daily wrap up with a tripod because the videos were just being too much movement in them. So we learned the hard way on that. But I want to thank Craig for sending in his CES donation. It's much appreciated as well. Got an email from Rod. Says, hey, Todd, congratulations from one sailor to another. I have very much enjoyed your efforts and have learned a lot by listening to Geek News Central. I meant to contact you a couple weeks ago after hearing your story about being so tired while driving that you stuck your head out the window to keep awake. I have been there and done that. I remember one time when we pulled into port after a couple of months at sea and I found out that I had at liberty for 12 hours. My family was in Charleston, and the boat was in Kings Bay, Georgia. I made the run north and returned with 15 minutes to spare. It was worthwhile, but kind of risky maneuver, especially on the way back to the boat. Keep up the good work, and please consider me part of your longtime Ohana, Rod. Hey, Rod, of course, always. And I'll be thinking about you. I know you're still on active duty. And but folks, check out his show. He's the host and producer of the Atomic Show podcast. And this guy is really, he's an atomic scientist. So you have to check his podcast out. He's also the editor of Atomic Insight's website. So, you know, I've done some crazy things. I remember kicking out of Memphis on a Friday, driving to Michigan, spending one day with a gal that I was dating up there, and then driving back all day Sunday, getting in, I think by, I had to be back like 5 o'clock or something, some ridiculous, you know, I had some time frame. It was well worth the trip. But yeah, one little thing, a tire going flat, throwing a belt, car trouble, boy, career would have changed dramatically. But you know, it's a crazy thing as guys will do when there's girls involved, that's for sure. Okay, got an email from Barry. He says, quite an achievement, milestone, congratulations, and it was in reference to the top 10 podcast. Got an email from Shane, said, hey, congrats, Todd, well-deserved award. I listened to a few podcasts, with three being the most important, Jim Rome, Sports Talk, Giant on Radio, 4 million listeners on radio, and Free Talk Live, growing radio show with 30 affiliates, and yours, the first and second, have been doing radio a long time, especially Rome, and I'd say your show is in line with them, and show prep, professionalism, and overall quality. Keep up the good work, Shane in Georgia. You know, I don't know, I have no idea how they pick those shows. Not a clue. Some sort of internal process. We'll take what we can get. But Shane, thanks for that. And, you know, I hadn't listened to any of those shows. I actually had to go listen to them. But thanks for the vote of confidence. Definitely appreciate it. Got an email from Barry. It says, well done. Congratulations, Todd. And Barry's with the Radio QRM podcast at radioqrm.com. He's out of Jaffrey, New Hampshire. Got an email from JP. Hey, Todd, thanks for the good CES reports. But watch out, since I believe you mix up the permalinks on the 0105 videos. They seem to be one off from the real article. Also, sound level on intro music is very high. Yeah, I fixed the sound level. It was definitely blasting people. And I think we got that all straightened up. That's what happens when you're editing at 2 o'clock in the morning. It just kills you. Got an email from Leonard. Hey, Todd, Leonard here, all the way from South Africa. I've been listening to your podcast for almost a year now. I currently use my Nokia N95 to listen to the podcast. Previously, used my N80. We've got GSM as well as 3G networks here. But to the cut and chase, great show, love it. Well, definitely recommend it. I received this email with this link, which I thought was quite interesting. It goes on to say, they talk about the Asus as being the most hated IT company in the PC industry. And I have that link up in there. He says, also, there's a website called, and it's hellopeter.com. It's a website where you can log complaints or complaints about a service for any company. A company can also register to respond to any complaint or compliment. The idea for that site was for people to see where they get good service and where they'll find bad services. Currently, our company's registered South Africa and England, I think, but the author, Pete Chilis, has encouraged users around the world to make use of this kind of service. But you can look at it when you've got some spare time if you want. Always enjoy your show. Regards, Leonard. Thanks, Leonard, for that. Well, that's it, folks. Got through all the... Oh my goodness. No, it's not. I just scrolled the... Yes, we got more email. Got an email from Bill out of Sunnyvale, California. Todd, I was listening to the episode. Yes, I'm a little behind. I heard you talk about the new Duracell charging product. I thought you might like this portable solar solution that I recently discovered. I have not bought one of these yet, but I'm planning to get one of them very soon. And it's at solio.com/charger. As always, you're doing a great job of keeping us informed. Keep up the great work. Got an email. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate that. Got an email from Jen. Hey, just want to help you had a wonderful holiday season. Wish you a very prosperous, healthy new year. As you have shown interest in our services at one time, I'm emailing to see if you can assist with any of our current, with any of your, what is this? Oh, this guy's, Jen, you're not a listener. Delete. Okay, moving on here. I got an email from Mike Wills from the Mike Mike's Hot Dish.com, talking about networks using questionable tactics to sell more domain names. Wait till you guys see this. This is just going to blow your mind. It really is. And I need to actually talk about this during the regular show coverage, but you need to read this. I'll have this linked up in the show notes. It's going to be questionable tactic to sell more domains. You got to read the actual article. We'll talk about it during the next show. Got an email from Dave in Prior Lake, Minnesota. Hey, Ted, I've been a listener since February 2005. Wow, you've been here a while, Dave. You really have. And I went back and listened to all of your shows before that, so I guess I've kind of been listening from the beginning. Why, yes, you have. I really enjoyed the information and perspective you bring to the world of tech. You have a refreshing, straightforward, and honest take on technology, even though it might be occasional mispronunciation. Of course, that's part of the show. I wouldn't change a thing. In fact, I really enjoy them. The CS videos was great, especially enjoyed the back channel videos. The one where you showed all the gear that you hauled to CS was amazing. Did you have any trouble flying with all those extra laptops and camera batteries? Some of them went FedEx. The main subject of my email is that I wanted to find out if you're aware of a new EVDO portable router by a company called Cradlepoint. The model is called Cradlepoint PHS300. The PHS stands for Portable Hotspot. The URL for this product is cradlepoint.com. I purchased one right before Christmas for use with my Verizon EVDO USB 720. I typically run either a MacBook Pro with several Windows XP virtual machines running under VMware Fusion. The Verizon software for using my EVDO modem works okay with my Mac, but not so great while using virtual machine. I did a workaround, but it was a bit of a kludge. I had the same issues running Dell laptop with Vista. I have a VMware Workstation 6 running a couple of Windows XP virtual machines on the Dell, and I never did find a solution for using my Verizon EVDO modem with the virtual machine. I know Kassir has an EVDO router, and I have one of those as well. He says, I think that is one you showed in the back channel video. Yep. What impresses me most about the Cradlepoint PHS300 was that it was truly portable since it runs off a battery. Oh, cool. I get about 2.5 hours with mine. The admin tools built in are also great. I don't know if it's wishful thinking, but I think I'd get better download speeds when my EVDO modem was connected to the PHS300 than when it is plugged directly into my laptop. Best of all, the PHS300 solves my issues with connectivity with the virtual machine since it functions as a wireless router instead of a wireless modem with special dialing software. I have no association with the company or vendor other than a very satisfied customer. I wasn't sure if you were aware of the product, but I thought some of the Geek News Central podcast listeners might be interested. Thanks, Todd, and keep up the great work. Dave, again, in Prior Lake, Minnesota. Dave, thanks. Put the link up to this product in the show notes. Cool product. I'll check it out. Got an email from Bill. Todd, on this episode, you mentioned that you'd like to find a source to get some prints. I just recently used a site called fineworks.com to print some of my photos. I realize that you're trying to print space photos that you found online, but I still think that this site worked great for that purpose. Love my 14 print that I did on fine art paper. Turns out great. You can check out my gallery on site at wmccave.fineworks.com. Thanks, Bill. I'll check that out. Okay, looks like, I got some more here. Jack, he said, rolling on the floor laughing, you said, beep, is there a way to see the video of when that guy scared you? Jack, that is, the video are up on Blip. I believe it's, not on Blip, it's up on, Ustream. Geeknews.ustream.tv, I think. All the archives in there happen about 2 o'clock in the morning, so it'd be near the end. It's on video. We'll have to find the clip, but yeah, that guy scared the living pants out of me. So for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, had a visitor come to the back door at 2 o'clock in the morning the back door of my house when I was doing the 24-hour podcast. Didn't see him until I looked up. It was a friend of mine. He was ding-donging on the front door, couldn't get in, came around the back. Whew. Yep, I'd use some expletives. All right, got an email from Amelia. She says, hey, check out sciencedebate2008.com. I registered. I think it'd be interesting to hear the candidates' views. So this must be a political site. Got an email from Larry. Larry out in Boston. He says, hey, I spoke briefly to your podcast in Boston. Longtime listener and viewer. Great content from CS. I was watching Lab Rats, labrat.com show 104C, third day video of CS. And who should I see but Annie McCaskey in that background? It was about 11 minutes in a segment. He was on his cell phone wandering around. I usually don't look at the background when attractive females are in the foreground, but there he was. Hope you're enjoying retirement, Larry. P.S. I somehow dropped been dropped from the show notes. I'll see about that. I'll check your listing out. Okay, the last email. Yep, another one from Joseph about the Ford claiming copyright on the pictures. You know, it was a weird deal. I was on BBC. I got an interview on CNN. It was not a TV interview. It was the interview I did before the show. But then I got on Fox News. And I was on Fox News during CES. And, you know, I didn't know what the guy was going to ask. I had already kind of prepared some notes when I knew I was going to go on and stuff I was going to talk about. But I think for the first 2 minutes, I looked like a blubbering idiot. I'll be honest with you. I was not impressed with my performance for the first 2 minutes of the Fox TV segment. Of course, my mom said, oh, it was great, it was great, it was great. And I have yet to really watch the video. If any of you have seen it, please be kind. Just skip the first 2 minutes and then watch the last five. I did great, I think, on the last 5 minutes or so I was on. But what a way. What a way to just... I felt like I embarrassed myself on national TV, but... You know, it's tough. It's tough getting up there and thinking, oh, how many people are watching me right now? Definitely a different experience. It really was. And I tried to talk about a product I really shouldn't have talked about. And that's what kind of threw me off. But if any of you saw me on Fox News, love to hear some feedback and tell me how bad it really was. But in the meantime, boy, we've been at listener comments for 25 minutes. I need to get us out of here. We'll be back to kind of a regular show. We've caught up all the voicemails, caught up all the emails. We'll be back in a normal routine on Friday. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for hanging tight during the week of a video. There's going to be some video that's going to be put up, but it won't be pushed into the podcast feed. If you want it in the podcast feed, I'll give you the link to the RSS that's over at Blip. You can get it that way as well, but thanks for all your support. Thanks for supporting the sponsors as well. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And if you're new to the show and you stay to the end, stay subscribed, drop us a comment, and hey, welcome to the Ohana. All right, folks, see you next time. Aloha.